In our fast-paced world, we often find ourselves rushing to provide encouragement, words of hope, words of life to the people around us. So this could be family, this could be friends, or even strangers. But we see that while these words of support and these words of encouragement, these words of kindness, you know, hold such immense value, yet there is a very significant and very profound aspect which is actually very much overlooked in this aspect of connecting with these people while gifting them with our genuine and loving presence. So then we've got to learn to be a blessing to these people with our presence, because this creates, you know, a very lasting impact. You know, it fosters that authentic connection with these people, with the family members, with your friends, with strangers. And learning to bless them with your presence before, you know, rushing to offer words of encouragement, you know, however you want to call it, but learning to bless them with your presence has such a lasting impact. And this brings, you know, great comfort, very great comfort. We cannot deny the fact that we are living in a very hyper-connected, you know, digital space, digital age, where we are constantly on every turn, you know, bombarded with countless messages, you know, and unending notifications. This is the state and the reality of our digital age now. And we see that this constant flow of words can for a second be a bit overwhelming, can be quite overwhelming. And you find that even if your words of comfort are actually coming from a place of authenticity, you're going to realize that it'll be very easy for the very true meaning of your words, you know, and the depth of your encouragement to sort of be lost in this noise, because we're living in a very noise digital age. Like I said, constantly receiving messages, constantly receiving endless notifications. So with this reality, it's very imperative, it's very key to then be able to recognize, you know, the power, the essence, you know, the significance of our undivided attention, of our presence. And some of these non-verbal cues when we are communicating with these people that are hurting, that are depressed, you know, that are miserable, our presence makes a significant difference. One of the narratives that I find very interesting in the scripture is the story of Jesus and Peter. At the time that Jesus was about to get crucified, I can't accurately narrate it, but you know, Jesus was about to get crucified and Jesus was with the disciples. Then Peter said, "I'm not going to allow this. As long as I'm around, this is not going to happen." Well, interpreting that in the literal sense, everybody was going to give a pat on Peter's back, like, "Yo, you're a real disciple, you know, you're really looking out and you mean well. He's about to go get crucified and you're saying you're not going to let this, and yet it's an army that is going to be behind this whole process, but yet you've got the guts to say, 'I'm not going to let it happen. As long as I'm about, this is not going to happen.'" I find interesting the response of Jesus Christ in that moment. He says, "Get behind me, Satan." You know, pause for a second. Peter is looking out. Those words are words of love. You know, he's sort of affirming his allegiance. He's sort of affirming his support, his love, you know, and his presence. "I'm going to be here. I'm going to be with you." But Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." And I feel like a lot of us fall in this temptation. I don't intend to build a sermon from that narrative. I just want to use it as an illustration to then, you know, guide some of the thoughts that I'm gonna be sharing here. You know, a lot of us then are faced with that temptation to try to play the God role in somebody's life, especially when they are hurting, when they are broken, you know, when they just lost their loved one. We are so quick to try to play the God role, because I tell you the truth, and before further ado, you know, the story of Job, I like to refer to this story. In as much as these three friends you know, had their wrong, they equally did something right. You know, those guys were praising. They blessed Job with their praises for 7 days. They didn't rush to open their mouth and just offer advice to Job, but they were just there blessing him with his presence, and they were quiet. Yes, later on they made their blunders, but there's something to learn from those three friends of Job, and also the narrative of Peter and Jesus. We see how a lot of people rush to play the God role in people's lives. You see, there's no man that has power to change a man's heart apart from God. We need to acknowledge our limitations as people. In as much as we are followers of Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, there is just much that we can do. In and of ourselves, we are bound to countless limitations. And when we get the truth at the back of our minds, we're going to see how we're going to refrain from trying to play the God role in people's lives, especially people that are hurting, you know, people that are broken, you know, people that have life big questions. Sometimes you may not even have the answers, but the best that you can do is just to be present. Hear them say all that God has said. Don't rush to give your 2 cents on everything. Picture yourself in the moment of Job. He lost everything. What can you tell a man in that moment that will make a difference? Are you going to tell him it is well? You know, if all things happen for a reason, are you going to tell him all that? And what guarantee do you have that that is going to heal his broken heart? But it is not to say you cannot offer people words of encouragement. You cannot offer people words of comfort. But you really want to do that at the direct permission of the Holy Spirit. Because just as Peter thought what he was saying was going to please Jesus, Jesus stands to Peter and say, "Get behind me, Satan." So we need to seek the wisdom of God in approaching some of these life situations. You walk up to a person like Job, who has literally lost everything, and all you're telling me is, "It is well." Wow. Of course, I'm a child of God. I believe in the love of God, but I'm in this moment. It's hurtful. So what exactly do you mean when you tell me it is well? Because I don't understand what that means. So if you're going to say it is well, don't just say it is well for the cliche part of it. If then you're sure that it is well, make him understand what exactly you mean when you say it is well. And in that moment, really, you want to connect to the mind and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Because you might actually think you're building when you're actually causing more damage. I heard a very moving story. I almost shed a tear when I was hearing that story. And I was at this hospital and I just felt so broken. And I knew that I was not going to meet that woman in my life. But I couldn't afford to just hear that story and it ends there. I had to say a prayer to say, "God, please, I know what she's going through is a crazy moment of her life. That no words can heal her heart. You know, nothing will make sense to her. But Lord, I pray that as you've said in your word, that even as you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will be with you. I pray that, let her know that she's not alone." I'm not going to tell her that, but maybe it might not just make sense. But I say a prayer that, "God, your way, do it your way. Let her know that she's not alone, and grant her strength and grant her comfort." Sometimes that is enough. And then what follows, maybe you just want to bless that person with your presence. Just be there. So this story, this lady has been married for close to 10 years. And 8 years in marriage, they haven't had a child. So in the ninth year, she became pregnant. So, you know, of course, the delivery was with a bit of some complications and whatnot. But she actually delivered. So then I was told how that, you know, she was narrating this story to the doctors, because then the doctors said, "Oh, this child has got a bit of some complications with the heart and whatnot." So this woman was actually a believer. So when she got that news, you know, she kept the person that was narrating this story to me, you know, says when she got the news, she kept saying, "Whose report shall you believe? I shall believe the report of the Lord. This child I prayed for, and God has blessed me with this child. This child is going to live. This child is going to bring people to the saving knowledge of the cross." You know, she was making all these beautiful affirmations. Every morning she would go to the ward and anoint the feet of the child, anoint the hands of the child. But unfortunately, this child passed away. Pause for a moment and imagine how she probably felt. Pause for a second and imagine the anguish, the pain in her heart. So now what can you tell a person like her in that moment? Will you rush to play the God role and tell her, oh, mom, it is well. All things happen for a reason. There is a reason this has happened. Are those the words that you're going to rush to, you know, share with her? Are you going to rush to play the God role? Are you going to be the doctor of her heart? But to tell you the truth, there are life moments, there are life situations that only God can grant comfort to such a person walking that path. Words, messages, calls might not make any single difference, but your presence, just being present, and gift these people who are going through these difficult times with your authentic love, not through words, but just through your presence. A lot to learn from the narrative of Job. His friends were there with him for 7 days and they didn't say a single thing. How deep can you be to offer words of comfort to a woman like that one who lost a child, who she had prayed for 8 years? How deep can you be? But in that moment, if there's ever gonna be a moment, or if there should ever be a moment that you should cry and seek the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, it's in those times. But oftentimes you see how people just want to rush simply because they've, you know, the cliche, you know, words of encouragement that they know is, it is well. There's a reason this has happened. Just stay strong. Stay strong in the Lord. You know, do not cry. Do not cry. Stay strong. Oh, wow. How do you expect her to stay strong in that moment? Because you've asked her to stay strong. You have no power. Your words have no power. I know this is very unpopular, but your words have no power, you know, to drive her to a place where she's going to decide to stay strong. Yes, she'll pretend like she's listening, she's hearing everything you're saying, but the second you leave, it's like you've just opened the wound. But then if you're going to open your mouth and offer words of comfort to such a person in that moment, like I said, if there will ever be a time that you are going to pray for the leading of the Holy Spirit, for the guidance of the Holy Spirit, for the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, it is in that moment. Because only God can heal a man's heart. Only God can offer comfort. The Holy Spirit is the only one that can heal a broken heart. He's the one that can strengthen them that are weak, them that are destroyed from the circumstances of life. We as human, there's just much that we can do, because the fact still remains that we are limited beings, limited by time, limited by laws of nature. There is a God who's not limited by anything, and that is a God that you want to pray to for guidance, for wisdom, and for direction. If you're then going to bless people with your presence and with your words, but most importantly, don't rush to play the God role in somebody's life. Don't dictate how then they should walk their journey, you know, of pain, you know, their journey of anxiety. Do not dictate. And because what then happens is, if they fall short of what you consider the ideal way of handling a certain situation, you're going to judge them. So you want to avoid all that. So how do you do that? Don't rush to play the God role. Just be present. Bless people with your presence. Most importantly, bless people with your authentic and genuine prayers. When I was told of that story of that woman who lost a child, man, I was broken. Just said, God, please, I don't know where she is right now. I don't know how broken she is right now, but Lord, I know she's hurting. I know this is painful for her. And she has a lot of questions that no man will be able to answer, but through the God who grants comfort to men. May you comfort her. May you grant her strength. Please, God. That was my prayer, man. I stood there and I was moved. I kept calling the person that told me that story. How is she doing? How's she doing? Please, whenever you see her, say a prayer from a distance. May God grant her comfort. So, ladies and gentlemen, in this fast-paced world where people are hurting, are going through painful situations, painful moments, we cannot afford to rush to play the God role in their lives, because it's only God that has power to heal a broken heart. It's God who has power to transform a heart. It's God who has the power to grant strength to them that are weak. We as human, in and of ourselves, we are limited, and there is just much that we can do. So as we bless people with our words, as we bless people with our presence, let's not attempt to play the God role in these moments. In these moments, let God be God. Let God be God.
Thank you for taking time to listen to this podcast. If you've not subscribed to the I Believe podcast, go to Apple Podcast, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.